Welcome to Mindful Mommies Now, the lactation series, part 12, early breast changes and nipple anatomy. I'm Elizabeth Cashin. I'm an RN and an IBCLC with over 30 years experience as an RN and over 20 as a lactation consultant. Thank you for joining me. If you're returning or if you're brand new to this podcast, I appreciate you listening. So with this podcast, I did mainly want to talk about nipple anatomy. First of all, in pregnancy, the pregnancy changes that I've mentioned in at least one other podcast, when it comes to breasts and your nipples, tenderness, fullness, similar to the way breasts and nipples might feel pre-period. Sometimes that's the first physical sign of pregnancy, is noticing something is going on with your breasts, your breast tissue, or your nipples. So most people, not all, we'll notice some breast changes during a pregnancy, including increase in size or fullness. I say most because it's really not everybody, but it's very common. Eventually, you'll see during pregnancy that your nipples also will change in color. They become darker than their typical. And the darker color is easier for a brand new baby with limited visual acuity to see right after birth. So they can kind of notice more when they're brand new babies that contrast in darkness. So the nipple being much, much darker, easier for the baby to locate. Kind of cool. There are also these very small bumps in the areola of your nipple. They're always there, but they get larger when you're pregnant and afterwards. They're called tubercles of Montgomery or Montgomery's tubercles. And they keep the tissue of the areola healthy, lubricated. They're kind of like little sebaceous glands. So they keep the area lubricated, and they kind of prevent things from growing, like bacteria that doesn't belong there. So that's kind of a natural defense mechanism. So they get bigger. They also might leak a little bit. So you notice them getting bigger, and you might just notice them for the first time when you're pregnant, honestly. So nipples come in many, many, many different shapes and sizes. And it's not unusual for an individual's right nipple to look very different from the left nipple or vice versa. No one's symmetrical in any way, especially when it comes to breasts and nipples. So nipples change during pregnancy, like I just described. They also may change during labor due to fluid shifts, occasionally medications like Pitocin. You might have heard the word Pitocin before. But you're going through a lot of changes in fluid dynamics when you're pregnant too. So, the look of nipples will change during the pregnancy all the way up until the baby is born. So don't assume that you know what your nipples are, at the beginning of a pregnancy, because they might look very different by the end. It's interesting, but many, many people believe their nipples are inverted or flat if they don't tend to stand out really prominently, then that might not be the case, that you're either inverted or flat. There's a wide variety of nipples, both in size and shape, and in elasticity, or how stretchy a nipple might be. And like I said, nipples also change during pregnancy and during labor. So I'm just wanting to encourage you to be open-minded about how your nipples will respond if you do choose to lactate. So specifically, I'm going to review the nipple areolar complex. So the areola is the darker, flatter portion, which includes the tubercles of Montgomery, may have hair follicles. The areola tends to have fewer nerve endings compared to the nipple itself. The nipple itself, very, very sensitive in the center of the areola for the most part. But the areola, fewer nerve endings right there. So the nipple is what stands out more prominently. It may not stand out at all. It might even dent inward, and we'll get to that, what those things look like, what they're called. Sometimes a nipple might even appear to have a little division in the center that goes from left to right, kind of looking like you have like two. Like the nipple might have a shape that looks like it's just kind of been split in half, like a little valley in the middle. That's not uncommon. We'll refer to that as a bifurcated nipple. Bi meaning two. It's been kind of a dent in the middle. That's something that you usually had all of your life. So just saying that's a variation, not uncommon. Also, nipple could have things like moles, skin tags, a shape that just might be different from left to right. Some people have the nipple itself might be shaped as if it has like two little, like a ball, one on top of the other, or it's just a skin tag. So just being aware, there's so much variation. And so just know that if you're working with, and I hope you are, a lactation consultant, lactation consultants have loads of good experience with seeing a very wide variety of nipple types, which is reassuring. You know, they can, you know, typically tell you that I've seen this before and this is what it means. And this is how we can help you with either pumping or with baby breastfeeding when the time comes. So if you do have the option to have a prenatal visit with an IBCLC, like some midwifery services might have that available to you, some OBGYNs might have that, it's a visit that could reassure you if you have questions about your body. And I think most people do have questions about their breasts, their nipples, their things that they might have heard or read that, you know, might be of a concern to them, and they just don't know who they need to ask, you know, who they need to run their questions by. And, you know, a midwife might be the first person you ask, or it could be both a midwife and an RN and an IBCLC. So I know I'm biased, but I think breasts are really amazing body part. And I really hope that everybody learns to appreciate, you know, the bodies that they have and how they can best work for them and appreciate them and get all of their questions answered. So if you have breasts, it makes sense to be provided with all the information that you'd need as they develop and throughout your lifespan. Breasts themselves are not completely developed until they reach the point where lactation is an option. So there's just a lot that is going on and will go on if you're at that point of getting pregnant or pregnant and having a baby. So what is possibly the more important quality of the nipple areolar complex when it comes to pumping or directly breastfeeding is the elasticity of the nipple itself. If you use your index finger and your thumb to make a little nipple sandwich, if you've heard that term, lactation consultants say that a lot. So if you're going to take your index finger and your thumb and position it not on your nipple, but past your nipple on the areola, might even be to the edges of your areola, depending on just how wide your areola is, but away from your nipple, you can then like compress, like kind of like bring your finger and your thumb together with your areola between. Then you can see just how much your nipple might itself stand out and give you an idea of the elasticity in your nipple. This isn't likely to be uncomfortable to try because there are fewer nerve endings in the areola where your nipples are, and you don't have to do this very hard in order to like get an idea. So what I just don't want anybody to feel they need to do is you don't have to pinch your nipple to get an idea of what your nipple is going to be like, you know, when it's time to, if you choose to breastfeed or pump, because for one, that hurts and it's not going to give you the information that you need. So directly pinching your nipple is not where a pump is going to be positioned. It would be beyond that. And it's not where a baby's mouth would ideally be when you're breastfeeding. So you don't need to do that. So a nipple sandwich, your index finger and your thumb, say of your left hand to your left breast, away from your nipple, but on like the edges of your areola, kind of at like 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and just compress a little bit. So you'll get a little bit of an idea. And if you make a nipple sandwich in that way, you may see a few drops of colostrum if you're pregnant appear, which is great. So during pregnancy, it just really helps to become familiar with using your hands to move your milk, either like before or during pumping or feeding. you'll see what works for you, and then you kind of become more confident even before the baby is born with how your breasts feel, what your hands are going to do. Just anything you kind of do, you know, with repetition gives you a little bit more confidence when the time comes. So again, it also does not require discomfort to make that little nipple sandwich that I described, or later to hand express milk. It just takes a little bit of practice. And generally, it's something that if you're going to deliver in the birthing center or in a hospital, the midwife or the lactation consultant or the nurse that is with you, they should be able to like help you with hand expression. If you're already aware of some of the terms like I just described and where your hands might go, and then as you use your hand for breast compression, it'll go back farther on your breast tissue actually, you'll just be a little bit more familiar, feel a little bit more confident. And I just think it helps to just have a little bit more info before you go into something brand new. So that's why I mention it. You may have heard about, or you may have been told, that you have flatter nipples. This may not actually be the case. Many people with heavier breasts will find that they appear to have flatter nipples while they're wearing their bra. Like they'll have worn a bra since they might have been like 11 years old, 11 or 12, and just the weight of their breasts might, and wearing a bra, when you take off your bra, it might just look as if like my nipples are always flat. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the nipples aren't elastic. So that's why I encourage you to kind of use your hands to see what your nipples might do, you know. So sometimes, you know, when breasts are heavy, the nipples do tend to be a little bit flatter. And that's something to also just be aware of for how to use your hands to help a nipple stand out if possible, and to just kind of think about that in advance. But I'm just saying, don't assume that you do. And then some people do have one or both nipples that retract or pull in rather than stand out when you try to make that little nipple sandwich. That retraction is called an inversion or an inverted nipple. So it's great to be aware if that's what you do have, if you do in fact have one or both nipples that are inverted. There are different techniques, and I would say also too that I've met with many parents in the past who have been sure that their nipples are inverted, but they weren't actually as inverted as they may have thought with a little bit of work with their hands. That's why I mentioned it already. So, but if a nipple is inverted, there are different techniques that can be used to help a baby latch, like drawing the nipple out prior either to hand expression or using pumping or using something called an everted syringe or possibly using a nipple shield. But every situation is going to be unique, and being aware that it's possible to pump or breastfeed if your nipple or nipples are inverted, and seeking the assistance of an experienced IBCLC will help you reach your goals. I actually used to work with a lactation consultant who had 5 daughters, and before she had her first daughter, she was my mentor, and she had told me that her nipples were both inverted before she had her first baby. And with some practice and work on, you know, how to handle her own breasts, she was able to successfully breastfeed all 5 of her daughters. So just wanting to put that out there that don't assume you're inverted. Know that there are things that can be done to help with nipples or a nipple that is inverted, but know what you're looking for and get access to an experienced IBCLC to help you reach your goals. So in the early days, after a baby is born, nipples do change quite a bit. And typically, as the birthing parent's fluid shifts, because there might be extra fluid or edema in breast tissue during labor. And extra fluid in breast tissue and in the nipple areolar complex is going to lead to some appearance and some feel of fullness. That's what edema, you know, typically is. And in that very early period, it might feel like it's difficult to compress the breast tissue in that little nipple sandwich maneuver that I've mentioned, and to then have the baby to latch, or, you know, if you're going to be pumping. that kind of edema tends to be very, very short term. And the elasticity that you might have had through, like, you know, your checking during pregnancy is going to return as fluid is lost by the birthing parent sweating, perspiring quite a bit during the postpartum period, urinating more than usual. That's a lot of like fluid being moved out quickly so that you're not as puffy as you might have been prior. You might even notice your ankles get swollen. Maybe swollen when you were pregnant, but they're going to be swollen postpartum. There's fluid that's trying to rapidly leave your body. So breasts that have extra fluid in them, they're not going to stay that way. That's the edema from IV fluids and stuff like that. So I just mentioned it because this process is really common. The IV fluids and medications like Pitocin may be required during the labor and delivery of your baby. So I just thought mentioning this, knowing this, would be helpful. Very short term, it's going to change. So just be aware. And then I don't want to make this podcast go on too long because I know, you know, you guys are looking at your time. Lastly, just wanted to mention a couple of things. There are some people who have supernumerary nipples or smaller nipples that are either above or below the two nipples on the chest. Everyone has there's a milk line from your armpit down to your groin, and almost, you know, all of those nipples during, you know, you as an embryo developing, they go away except for the two that you're left with on your chest. But sometimes they don't all go away. And so there may be extra nipples that they might get larger during lactation and pregnancy. They may increase in size or leak, or they may do nothing at all. And you might know they're there, or you might not really have thought anything about it. You might have even thought it was a mole that was like underneath your rib cage. But if you notice something's going on, that's what it might be. Don't worry, not uncommon. And you might just need to, like, you know, use a breast pad if they're leaking, you know, if they leak, if they're a bother. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, though, too, is breast tissue includes an area that reaches into your armpit, like I mentioned with having extra nipples, possibly. The area that's in the armpit it has a name. It's called the tail of Spence. So if when you, say, have your period, if you've noticed you've had, like, a swelling that kind of comes when you get your period that's in your armpit, it's likely the tail of Spence. So that's breast tissue that's all the way up in there. It's kind of, your breast actually is kind of shaped more like a teardrop from the armpit down to the breast. So that's breast tissue up in your armpit. And it may get fuller during pregnancy. And because it's breast tissue, as milk increases, it may become like more swollen and get uncomfortable. It may even be like a area of tissue that almost like hangs down a little bit, and you might be concerned about that. That's the tail of Spence. It's breast tissue. So you can treat that area the way that you would for breast engorgement, which would mean as you're feeling that area, you know, use some ice packs or even like the cold cabbage leaves that you can find described if you go to kellymom.com for use for engorgement, and put that in your armpit, and that's going to help ease that discomfort. It's really not that uncommon, but I know that when women have that, they, for one, don't know what it is, and sometimes they're too embarrassed to ask what it is. So just wanted to mention that as something that lactation consultants see, and they can address that if those are questions that you might have. So I hope this has been helpful to you as you consider how you feel about your body and the option to make milk. Please don't hesitate to ask questions about your breasts, especially if you have access to a midwifery practice that is comfortable doing breast assessments, answering questions, or especially your local IBCLC. IBCLCs love to talk about, you know, and answer questions for women because, you know, or for people that are lactating that have breasts that are going to, you know, be, you know, in search of our services. So we love to answer these questions, and we want everybody to be as knowledgeable and as positive as possible and have all the options available that they can have. That's what we're here for. And I thank you for listening today. I really do appreciate your interest, and I will be back for another podcast. Thank you. Bye.